or Sheriff Normand was livid, that would be to put it mildly. Here's another radio safe bit of what he had to say. Let's make sure this is on. Yes.
And that started something going down a path that we collectively should be ashamed of ourselves. And we began to criticize people for just asking for pause. Let the process take its course. But no, that wasn't enough. We had to make demands. We want justice now. And if we don't get it now, and we don't get it our way, we're going to start saying things and doing things until we get it our way. It's not about the right thing. It's not about justice. And it's not about the process. It's about what we want and what we want now.
I say let's make him the next Attorney General of the United States of America.
Yeah.
FBI director?
Maybe. Homeland Security's done.
Sheriff Newell Normand ain't taking no social media guff, kids. And he's 100% right, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% right. All of these armchair pundits, all of these people who read headlines and don't understand what's going on, getting on, making death threats, calling people Uncle Toms, calling people whatever you're going to call them, you're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of the problem. And people need to understand that the world does not work the way you might think it does. Lisa Nichols and I, not on social media calling people names.
No.
Here's a reason for that.
We just call each other names.
That's right. You're the crazy gun lady.
Venezuela.
Venezuela. They got the food shortage going on down there.
Yes.
Something
came out today.
Oh, God.
Actually, I believe this was yesterday.
Yes, it was yesterday. And it is... Somebody is trying to find a market for their oil to put more money on the street.
Could be.
Well, no, somebody is.
There is a big story, though. And it has to do...
That's a big story.
Yeah, no, there's a bigger story.
I don't know what the bigger story would be.
Basically, that their money is useless
That's not the bigger story, but...
Yeah. In a way to figure this out, they are going to introduce 6 new notes and 3 new coins from mid-December to help alleviate practical problems in doing business with the world's... currency that... So basically, one of the largest notes is only worth 2 U.S. cents.
Yep.
Here in the United States. And we're talking about a country that is an OPEC nation that is continually... the problems, you know, between the hungry... Millions of people are hungry. The medical sector is in extreme crisis. The country is disheveled. It's awful. So, yeah, we're going to introduce new money. Which is interesting because this comes just on the heels when India announced to alleviate all the
totally
money.
Totally separate thing.
No, completely different why they're doing it. Yeah. They're trying to get people to pay their taxes because only about 1% of people actually do it. But with countries making new currency.
Venezuela should be okay now that oil prices are going up again. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will help to ease the problems that they're having in that country. Honestly,
I mean, it's a country that relies, how much of their GDP on oil?
It's about 80% of their economy.
Yeah.
It's rare to find a country that is dependent on a single product the way that Venezuela is dependent on oil.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on our side of the world. There are Middle East countries... where that's the case, because they have sand and oil. That's what they've got. But for Venezuela, you know, you would expect that there would be some farming or, you know, maybe some manufacturing business, something like that. It's all about the oil. Everything else is state-run down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the state can't pay its bills. You can't even get beer. I don't know why they're putting new currency out. There's nothing to buy.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they, we talked about it on the show, talking about they were banning sugar and rice or... The prices are so extremely high, but it's rationed by a lot.
Yeah. Well, they're actually, they have to go into the countries around them to go and buy anything because there's no food available in Venezuela right now. Hopefully, that sorts itself out with the higher oil prices. Nickelback
is an awful band.
Yes, it is.
They had to have... Oh, my God. No, I know this story. I saw this story. Ooh. Have they been asked not to perform?
Not recently. Not that I'm aware of.
I know I read the story, or I saw the headline, but I didn't read the story. What is it?
Kensington on Prince Edward Island, just a few hundred miles away from us right here, has a new punishment available for people who drink and drive. If you get picked up drinking and driving, Kensington police say this, quote, "We will catch you on top of a hefty fine, a criminal charge, and a year's driving suspension. We will also provide you with a bonus gift of playing the office's copy of Nickelback in the cruiser on the way to jail." They go on. Now, no need to thank us. We figure if you were foolish enough to get behind the wheel after drinking, then a little Chad Kroeger and the boys is the perfect gift for you. So that is the comments that came back on this. We're screaming police brutality, inhumane punishment. One person said, "I'd rather be shot twice."
Yeah.
So
hear this, Canada. If PAPS, you know, not allowing their retirees lifetime supply of beer once they leave the company, if this doesn't make you not drink, Canadians are just, you know.
Yeah, it's
putting down the beer.
It's rough. There's no way I'm listening to Nickelback. But you know what? How much does everybody hate Nickelback? I mean, they're a Canadian band. How much does everybody hate these guys that it's like, yeah, if you get caught drinking and driving, we're going to make you listen to Nickelback.
Bad.
Poor Nickelback.
Samsung
won in the United States Supreme Court its lawsuit against Apple, which charged Apple with infringing on its pinch technology.
Yes.
Samsung claims to be the ones that developed the pinch on a touchscreen to make things larger and smaller. These two companies have been locked in a bitter lawsuit for a decade over this, and the Supreme say, send that money to South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Apple will have to find it. It's somewhere in Ireland.
Of course.
Or possibly tied up in U.S. government bonds.
They do have the cash.
Yes. Pubic hair. Always wanted to say that on the radio.
Something about shaving. You're shaving it wrong. Or there's warnings with shaving pubic hair. I saw that.
There's two stories here. You've either got to give me the context for that, or
I believe
the other part
of
this story.
I saw this on Drudge. It's warning like, hey, you're shaving your pubic hair wrong, or it was. But that's what it's about. It's
no,
shaving.
That's not what it's about.
It was something. You're doing it wrong, or you should be doing this when you shave your pubic hair.
No.
There was a story.
Yes, but that's not what the story was about.
So, enlighten me.
There are actually two stories involving pubic hair today.
Oh, nice.
One is that pubic hair was trending on Facebook this morning.
Yes.
It was a trending topic. Just pubic hair. Mm-hmm. No context given whatsoever. Just
hashtag.
Pubic hair is trending on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people logged on expecting maybe they'd loosened up their photo rules. No. Part of the reason it was trending is there was a story that came out. A study was done that found a correlation between trimming your pubic hair, pubic topiary, if you will, and higher incidence of sexually transmitted infections. So you know that the Europeans were involved in this because they called them STIs and not STDs.
Mm-hmm.
So people who engage in pubic topiary are more likely to get sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, because you have open hair follicles.
No, it has nothing to do with shaving your hair. It's not a cause. It's a correlation. And yes... having open wounds while you're doing whatever you're doing does make
so
it easier for disease to move.
So the correlation is somebody that is well-kept is more likely to have sex.
That is another possibility, that those who engage in pubic topiary may know that their pubic hair is going to be on display more often for certain reasons. They may have more sexual partners and thus come back with more diseases.
Hmm. Interesting.
Trending on Facebook this morning.
Was that five?
Let's see. I did pubic hair, Air Force One, Nickelback, Newell Normand. That's four.
All right. Well, five. Domino's.
The pizza people?
The pizza people.
I had no idea.
After brightening everybody's spirits when, you know, Domino's announced that reindeers in Japan were going to start delivering pizzas, the company said, let's hold on, we're going to scratch that. So apparently it has been really harsh winters in Japan, and they were thinking about different ways to be delivering the pizzas, and they tried it out, and they didn't work out so well. So,
did they discover that the reindeer don't actually fly? Is that the problem?
Yeah.
How many reindeers died to determine this truth?
They talk about having harsh winters, but there was going to be a delivery man that was going to walk the reindeer to the house. It's a strange, I don't know, but yeah. Not happening. Sorry, Domino's.
This is the sort of thing that Japan gets away with that you could never even try in the United States in many years. Ohio.
Oh. Something's happening with Ohio. Governor Kasich has to pass it, or he can pass it. Ah, what's the story? Is that what it involves with?
The main detail is the story.
I know. I'm trying to think. He only has a short time to pass this. Oh my God, this is going to kill me.
10 days. He has.
Oh, what does it have to do with? I saw this so quickly. I get a half point for that.
This was like the biggest story online today.
I get a half point for that.
Yeah. No, you don't.
I'm going to be so mad when you say it.
The Ohio State Legislature sent the so-called heartbeat bill to Governor John Kasich today that would make it illegal to have an abortion, would ban abortion after a heartbeat is detected in a fetus, typically around 6 weeks. John Kasich now has the option to sign the bill into law, to veto it, or to do nothing. If he does nothing for 10 days, it automatically becomes law. It is expected, it is likely that he is going to veto this. And there is another bill that is coming through the legislature right now that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. So everybody who's out there freaking out about this and calling John Kasich bad names, please stop. The guy hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. A bill landed on his desk, and you cannot condemn him for that and call him bad names for that. Kasich's feeling on this bill, which he's made known publicly, is that he will not sign it if he doesn't think it will pass constitutional muster. The general read on this bill is that it will not. And the ACLU says it will sue the second that this bill is signed into law, because the window is simply too narrow. John Kasich has also said in the past that he supports abortion, although he is pro-life. He supports abortion if the life of the mother is threatened, and it's 6 weeks, you're not going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill does not make any provisions for that whatsoever. Not for life of the mother, not for rape, not for incest, not for any of the above. So this bill is pretty much going nowhere. And we'll see what they come up with next. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. On the Tell Mikey D is coming your way at 9 o'clock. And when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at what happened out in Oakland, what lessons we can learn from the tragic fire at the ghost ship. It is, of course, the holiday season, which means we get to start bringing out the Christmas music. Can I just say, Lisa Nichols, I am disappointed. Very disappointed. As I've been driving around the last few days, there seems to be less festivity on display.
Mm-hmm.
There seem to be less lights this year.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but even given that it's a lot, it doesn't have to be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just people don't
it's
seem
true.
To be as into it this
no,
year.
No, absolutely. I was talking about it the other day with somebody and how, you know, we made it a point when we were kids just to drive around, whether it be, you know, through Beverly or the Lynn Fells Way, Winchester. And, you know, that was an outing to go to. And now it seems such a lost activity.
Yeah. There's a lot less to see this year,
mm-hmm.
and I am disappointed, and I'm calling on all of you to get off your butts, go put some lights up. Even if you stick some candles in the window, that's something.
We finally have a wreath on our blaze. Yeah.
Here's a little music to decorate by.
with holes in my shoes, but I'm not complaining. I'm happy, you see, and I'm still here waiting. So come and see me.
Hi, I'm Debbie Reynolds. If you're catching up on everything you put off during the holidays, I hope you'll take a few moments out to answer your Christmas seal letter, if you haven't done so already. Remember, it's never too late to answer your Christmas seal letter. It's a matter of life and breath.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night, 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Tragedy hit Oakland on Friday. As of today, we found out the identities of the 36 bodies that had been recovered from the ruins of a warehouse, as I said, in Oakland, that was engulfed in flames, where on this particular Friday night, young people had gathered for some sort of party concert with electronic music. Authorities said on Monday morning that firefighters had located an area of the building in which they believe the fire was started. There has been conversations going on today saying that it could have been sparked from a refrigerator. We still don't know. It has not been confirmed. So this fire, it tore through this two-story structure, and it's been dubbed the Ghost Ship. And it is this warehouse that, you know, no sprinklers in there. I'm talking about two exits for the entire place and, you know, a staircase made out of wood.
One of those exits accessible only through a pile of wood pallets.
Yeah.
That had been stacked on top of each other to create stairs.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this warehouse, it's not that just people used it to go and party. There were people living in there.
Yeah.
And the one person that essentially did run it, Derek Alamina, and his wife. Now, this was owned by this woman, really no involvement in it. From what I understand, when she would come to look at the warehouse, Alamina would tell all of the residents that did live in there, oh, go down the street to Burger King or go to these other places to make sure that it doesn't look like it's been living in.
Yep.
So sadly, from what I understand, there were text messages that were sent from these victims saying, I love you, I'm going to die. Tragedy.
This complete was
an utter tragedy.
This was a bit like the Worcester warehouse fire that killed six people several years ago. In that, the interior of this warehouse was basically a maze of temporary wooden structures that had been thrown up to create separate workspaces for artists, in some cases living spaces for people. There have been allegations from some corners that there was no electricity in the building, that they were in fact stealing electricity from a nearby source. There were stories about extension cords being run up a back stairway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were generators, propane tanks, every hazard.
That stairway being closed down to keep people from tripping over the extension cords. Basically, this was a tragedy waiting to happen. And it's interesting to note that there were two major fires in the United States on Saturday. One of them took place in Oakland at a warehouse and killed 36 people. The other took place just a couple of miles from this station in Cambridge, destroyed 10 buildings, burned down a neighborhood, but resulted in no serious injuries. Time of day does play a factor in that, but given the scale of destruction in Cambridge, one would expect somebody would have been seriously hurt, somebody would have been killed. That did not happen. That did not happen because Cambridge is very serious about its fire code, as are most communities around here, as is the city of Oakland. And this kind of a situation exists only when you have people flaunting the law and city officials looking the other way. That's how we get to this point.
And this is what happened.
This is what happens.
Now, we were talking about, I mean, you know, city and state officials, they've fielded years of complaints for everything from dangerous conditions, drugs, neglected children, trash. I mean, the complaints were piling up, and there have been multiple visits to this warehouse. So the biggest questions come out of it in saying, how did so many people die? How did this warehouse get past so many complaints without it being thoroughly checked out and actually figuring out what it was all about and what was taking place inside? How was that allowed? These are the questions that we have.
Well, it's allowed.
Other than the basic, how did the fire start? How did it spread so quickly? I mean, those are basics. If we understand if it did come from one of the electrical cords or the refrigerator, I mean, we're talking about a building that is majority made up of wood. Of course, that is going to go up like a matchbox.
Yeah. The reality is there shouldn't have been anybody inside this building. Okay? This building was not zoned for residential use. This building was probably not zoned for the use that it had.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt any building inspectors oversaw that construction or approved that construction. I doubt the health inspectors had been in there to look at much of anything. When you have that much electricity around that much wood in an enclosed space, you are asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were in a situation like that on Saturday night. Because the theater that we were in had been completely gutted and filled in with plywood all over the place. Everything was built out of plywood. Now, that theater also has clearly marked exits at the front and back, and fire extinguishers, sprinklers, all that sort of stuff. No sprinklers in the warehouse, no smoke detectors in the warehouse. Once the fire began on the first floor, there was nowhere for the people on the second floor to go.
Mm-hmm. By the time the firefighters got there, or the first fire trucks got there, you had a situation where the roof and most of the second floor was already collapsed at that point.
Yeah. There was nowhere for those people to go. Mm-hmm. And that fire is going to burn fast, and that fire is going to burn hot. And that's it. You're trapped. You're not getting out of there. Because everything below you is on fire. And it's a warehouse. There's no windows. There's no way to get out of this situation.
Now, Mr. Alameda, he did go on the Today Show. If you saw the interview, if you want to have either your skin crawl or just have a cringe moment, watch or listen to him talking, it blows my mind. And the interview was conducted by Matt Lauer, one of the other anchors on the Today Show. And he basically came out and just said, you know, they asked him a question, who do you think should be held responsible for such tragedy? And he, you know, kind of fiddling with his words was just like, I'm sorry. But it was the most insincere I'm sorry I've probably ever heard. And for him trying to paint this picture of what magical world he thought the warehouse was, that because it's so expensive to live in this area, in San Francisco, in the Oakland area, and these people's dreams of being an artist are far more expensive than what they have in their pocketbooks, I believe was a quote that he said. So he's painting this magical picture of, you know, what a life it was here in the warehouse.
Let's let Mr. Elmina...
And it's not at all. It was a death trap.
Let's let Mr. Elmina speak for himself here.
I'm incredibly sorry. What do you want me to say? I'm not going to answer these questions.
Anger flares as the man who founded the artist colony where 36 people lost their lives defends himself.
Can I ask you if you are...
I'm an honorable man. I'm a proud man. No, I'm not going to answer these questions on this level.
Are you worried that you will be charged?
I'd rather get on the floor and be trampled by the parents. I'd rather let them tear at my flesh than answer these ridiculous questions.
Derek Almina.
This guy is a clown and a punk.
And he's on drugs.
This guy is a clown and a punk. And by the way, his wife and children who lived in the warehouse with him.
Oh, his children that he actually had at the time that had been taken away multiple times. Yeah.
Conveniently in a hotel while this party was going on. Mm-hmm. Now, I am not going to fault any of the artists who were involved in this. Because if you are a musician, you play in places like this. This happens all the time. It may surprise some listeners to know that this sort of thing happens rather often here in the city of Boston.
Yep.
There is a vibrant underground club scene in Alston and Brighton where you find out at the last minute where the gig is going to be, and you're playing in somebody's basement.
It's usually in a basement.
Or you're playing in somebody's garage, or you're playing in a warehouse, or you're playing wherever they can stick it in, and 100 people show up, and you give a concert, and it's extension cords and beer and unmarked fire exits, and the police do not take kindly to this kind of operation. And the Boston police have been making an effort to shut these things down very quickly because we know the dangers here. You know, the Station nightclub fire was not that long ago, and everybody remembers that. And it's not that the authorities are against music. It's not that they're against parties or people having a good time. It is the danger that comes from a large number of people being in a space that they cannot quickly get out of in the event of a fire. And believe me, if you're one of these ragers on a Friday or Saturday night, the risk of a fire is much, much higher than you would like to believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Much higher than you would like to believe it is. So this clown, Mr. Almania, his excuse in all of this is that when he rented the building, he assumed it was up to city code.
Yeah.
Even if it was, okay, as soon as you start building structures all over the inside of it and start running extension cords all over the place and you got generators going, you're not up to code anymore. This guy is a clown. And this guy should be brought up on murder charges. And probably will be, by the way.
And the reality is, though, he was just trying to make money.
Whether he's... Well, they were trying to raise money to pay the rent for the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, was a neighborhood nuisance. Neighbors had complained about noise.
No, as I said, multiple noise complaints. Everything. Trash, whatnot.
People on drugs walking around outside. Kids, like, just running around outside.
But the thing is, you need to know what you're doing. And understanding that when the owner of the warehouse is coming in, you're telling all of your tenants to go to other places.
Yep.
You're telling them 4 days prior, oh, she's coming. So you need to make it to look like you don't live here. This isn't... was never meant to be an artist sanctuary where you can, you know, create your craft. It was whatever you want to do in here, build it, just give me money.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And at the same time, you know, understanding that artists...
And drugs were aplenty.
Understanding that artists have a rough go of it. If you can't afford a place to live, you probably should be doing something other than your art. Okay? Becoming an artist is a long process. And living in a warehouse, because it's 20 or 30 bucks a month, while you perfect your craft, it really doesn't count as making it as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about your own safety in these situations. And you can't trust situations like this. This guy, play the quote again. He's a clown. He's obviously a clown and a punk. The landlord has no idea what's going on. The city is looking the other way. Has to be for at least some of this. Because these complaints are going on for months and months and months. As recently as November 17th, a building inspector went to the warehouse to try and see what was going on. Because there had been complaints about illegal construction.
Mm-hmm.
Inspector knocks on the door. Nobody answers. Inspector leaves. Why? Because the law in the city of Oakland says that you cannot force entrance to a building without a court order. So there is a law on the books that maybe ought to be rewritten.
You get in some kind of dangerous waters, though, with that.
If you've got a building that is subject to a non-conforming use, this is a warehouse.
That's different. If you write the law, that would pertain to that type of situation where there is plenty of evidence to say that said building was not being used for its original purpose, then yes, absolutely, you can go in.
We like to break down the exact moment where things got wrong, where things went wrong on this show, and try and put things in context in the hope that listeners might learn from that and might understand how to avoid situations like this or how to behave in situations like this. This one is really difficult to break down because this building had been in operation for many years,
mm-hmm.
which means despite the complaints, despite the violations, it was still in operation. And by virtue of that, in my eyes, the zero moment here lies with the city officials who did not shut it down.
Of course.
It should have been abundantly clear to city officials after a year, after 2 years, that Mr. Alameda and the people that he was renting to were irresponsible. We're not taking care of the property. We're living in a property even though they were not allowed to live there.
Mm-hmm.
May have been stealing electricity. They're building all these structures inside the place. We talked about the Worcester Fire. We mentioned the Worcester Fire earlier. Part of the reason those firefighters died was because that warehouse had turned into a homeless camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeless had built wooden and cardboard structures all over the inside of it. So once you went into the place, it was impossible to find your way out. And the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has been pretty aggressive on cracking down on illegal uses of warehouses like that since then.
Mm-hmm.
The same
because
thing,
this is what happens. You have a tragedy and so many people die, and now it's cause for concern in changing the law.
But this shouldn't be surprising to anybody.
No, of course
not. This is why all those laws are on the books. And out in Oakland, you have a mayor who has actively encouraged mm-hmm. this kind of behavior. She supports warehouses being turned into artist collectives. She supports all these local artists hanging around. It's one thing.
But if that is what is happening, then there needs to be people that are going in and actually going in and not just knocking on the door and walking away, going in and making sure that everything's up to code.
Yeah.
Why is a warehouse not subject to something that an art gallery is? It's the same exact thing. What? Because it's, you know, people that don't have the means for it or don't have, you know, oh, they're just starving artists, so leave them alone. That's, you know, what they're used to. They need to follow the law and follow the rules the same exact way that everybody else does. These were put into place to save lives, to prevent tragedies like this from happening. This isn't like, oh, we just feel like invoking the people of Oakland to go to your resident and check you out. No.
And it can't be a situation where you feel bad for people because they don't have homes. It can't be a situation where you're trying to foster an arts community. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking the other way.
No, and if you listen to this conversation between Matt Lauer and, as you put him, this joke, which is a perfect word to use, he goes on and he invokes the gay card, the what you just said, the starving artist, every single possible thing. How can you knock these types of people for wanting to do this? It made me sick to listen to him.
Let's get some more from Matt Lauer and Derek Alamania.
Scene of the fire this morning, and joining us now, Mr. Almena, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, 36.
It's not a good morning. It's not a good morning. What am I doing here? Can I just say I'm sorry? Can I just say... The only reason why I'm here is to put my face and my body here in front.
Mr. Almena, let me ask you a couple of questions. 36 lives were lost in that building over the weekend. The family members of those who were lost want answers. They want to know who should be held accountable for their loss of their loved ones. Are you the man who should be held accountable?
Am I the man who should be held accountable? Did I build something that... I mean, what am I going to say to that? Should I be held accountable? I can barely stand here right now.
But it's a fair question, Mr. Almena. Obviously, there were some conditions in that building that may have led to a dangerous situation and led to what happened
I laid my body down there every night. We laid our bodies down there. We put our children to bed there every night. We made music. We created art. We opened our home. What became our home? It didn't start off as our home. It started off as an initial dream, an idea that we would have a facility and a venue that would host everything from at-risk youth to the gay community to artists that couldn't perform anywhere to performance art and alternative arts. And eventually, when you can't pay your rent because what your dream is bigger than your pocketbook, when the need for housing, when the need for people to be able to sit down and be warm and make food and take a shower and take a bath and go to bed. And so we created something together, you know? This stopped being me. This wasn't about me 3 years ago. I signed a lease and I got a building that was to city standards, supposedly. What? And I was lured into something that I had to constantly...
Mr. Almena, it may have been a dream, and all of that may be true. You provided a space for some people to live, but according to the city, it was not under code. And we have someone who lived there, an artist who lived there for 2 years, Shelly Mack, and she said she rented a space from you, that you knew it was dangerous, that you profited from this and never spent a dime on anything but partying. What did you do to ensure this?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about me. I don't want to talk about profiting. This is profit.
What can you tell me you did to ensure the safety of those people?
I'm a father. I laid my three children down there every night.
We understand
profit?
That.
This is not profit. This is loss. This is a mass grave.
So for the families, can you...
I'm only here to say one thing, that I am incredibly sorry. And that everything that I did was to make this a stronger, more beautiful community. And to bring people together. People didn't walk through those doors because it was a horrible place. People didn't seek us out to perform and express themselves because it was a horrible place.
Nobody
I'm 47 years old. I'm the father of this space.
Mr. Almena, no.
Yes, Mr. Almena, you are 47 years old, and you are old enough to know better, and you are old enough to have a real job, and you are old enough to understand building code, and you are old enough to understand dangerous construction, and you are old enough to understand that it is not the city's fault that the building that you leased went up in flames because of your actions after you leased it. Clown and a punk. This is embarrassing. I am embarrassed to be part of, to be his age. By the way, it doesn't spell his name the same way that I spell mine. I'm embarrassed. I am embarrassed. But this is the classic, oh, I didn't do anything. It's everybody else. Everybody else's fault but his.
Of course.
I just wanted a beautiful, happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Those were my intentions.
Great. Go form a foundation. Mm-hmm. Go find a legitimate space. Go run it like a business. We talked about Pebble earlier and crowdfunding. Go run it like a business.
But I hate to say, this is the mentality of some of these people that, you know, just are so out of touch with reality and what is actually going on in the real world, that this little bubble that you live in and you think, you know, everything is sunshine and rainbows and I'm just going to collect money and people are going to do their art and it's going to be fun and glitter and woo. It's not. What you're doing is creating a situation where you have a warehouse that people were living illegally in there, were working illegally in there, and it was a death trap. And 36 people died.
But it is ultimately, as culpable as Derek Almania is in this situation, it is ultimately the city of Oakland and its failure to take action after years of complaints that bears the greatest responsibility for what happened. Because on one level, our government exists to protect us, the people, from people like Mr. Almania, who will take serious risks, either because they don't know the dangers or because they don't care about the dangers. Whatever his reason is, for him to stand up and say, I thought the building was safe, is nonsense. And everybody listening to that immediately knows that it's nonsense. This guy is either lying or dangerously ignorant. Haven't used that phrase since Sarah Palin. Might just be dangerously ignorant. Either way, this is where we need our government to do its job, come in, inspect the place, throw everybody out, which is what should have happened. But the government officials, not really up to doing their job. Well, you know, you're giving a place for the artists to go and you paint some nice stuff around town. We're going to look the other way. Looking the other way can get people killed. And the 36 people who died in Oakland, mostly very young musicians, almost all of them were musicians. Some of them were just people who went to see the concert, did not deserve to die a horrible death in a fire in a warehouse. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Yeah. Is the tree down yet? Are the decorations packed away? The last of the thank you notes written? What about your Christmas seal letter? Did you remember to answer it? Hello, this is Henry Fonda, and I'd like to remind you that it's never too late to answer your Christmas seal letter. Christmas seals work 365 days of the year in the fight against emphysema, tuberculosis, and air pollution. Please answer your Christmas seal letter today. Your Tuberculosis and Respiratory Disease Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols and Derek Carey. This is The Big Picture, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And I actually got the opportunity to go to a tasting, because you know how much I love eating food. Go to a tasting this afternoon at Albadanza Restaurant. It is such a little hidden gem. I loved it, and I'm big, obviously, on Italian food. I told you about my tragedies in trying to make carbonara on Friday. But if you want good Italian food, I've never been here before, and it's great because it's super close to where the station is. It's on Main Street in Everett. One of the things that I know you would love, and when it came out, I was like, this is Derek, Dublin bone-in pork chop. It had onions and peppers and potatoes. We had a Grand Marnier shrimp that was amazing. Probably one of the best bolognese sauces I've had in a long time. So I love always picking out the, you know, either a new restaurant or something that not a lot of people maybe know about. So definitely check them out. Abadanza Restaurant. And I get some food in my car later. So it'll be good.
We actually stood in line for an hour to eat at the Carnegie Deli.
You're crazy.
On Friday.
I know. I saw that picture of that sandwich, and it made my mouth water.
They're gone.
Well, if you go on my Instagram, you can see pictures from this place. And, yeah, the food is unbelievable. And definitely check it out if you want good Italian food.
They're gone in 24 days. No more Carnegie Deli at the original location. So we had,
oh, that's right.
We had to go and, you know, have a sandwich there. It was fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. Just unbelievable pastrami, but... Yeah, so if you're down in the New York area and you don't mind standing in line for a while, you know, you get in line about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and you get in right around dinner
time. Bring lunch while you eat in line. Ah, and then
it's
you can
not,
get your
no,
sandwich.
Go in hungry because those sandwiches are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, for my Pokemon Go players out there, and I know you are out there, big things coming.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Big things coming. First of all, as of today, Sprint is the first official partner. With Pokemon Go, and Sprint locations are being turned into Pokestops and gyms. So if you live near a Sprint store, you may have a new Pokestop or a new gym nearby. But that is the secondary announcement. The big one, according to a lot of rumors that have been stolen directly from the Starbucks corporate intranet, beginning tomorrow, Starbucks is going to launch a promotion with Pokemon Go. Almost every Starbucks location, not quite all of them, so not everyone's participating, but a lot of Starbucks locations are going to become Pokestops, but they're going to become special Pokestops. When you go there and you spin the Pokestop, you will find out about the new Starbucks Pokemon Go Frappuccino, and you can then go inside and order yourself a Pokemon Go Frappuccino, and... The rumor has it, we're still waiting to see how all this is going to work, that there will be an exclusive Pokemon released as part of this promotion. And this is ahead of what is expected to be an announcement that all of the Generation 2 Pokemon will be added to the game sometime next week. So just in time for Christmas, we're going to get another 150-odd Pokemon to go out and hunt, which should make things very exciting, especially around here where it's going to be freezing cold and we don't feel like going out looking for the damn things. But that's what's coming up. Go check a Sprint store near you today for a new Pokestop. And tomorrow, if you're inclined, go check out Starbucks. That is a blackberry and raspberry flavored Frappuccino, by the way. Which sounds half decent.
Yeah.
I'm getting one.
But it's involved with Pokemon. As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest thing from this week's news. There's always one way you can tell a drunk driver. Well, police in Australia were called after a woman was spotted driving with a children's swing set to her car. Residents had stopped a woman from driving her vehicle because she was suspected of drunk driving. Springwood police arrived at the scene at about 3 a.m. on Saturday. They found a children's swing set stuck to the roof of the woman's vehicle. Witnesses said that the 38-year-old female driver of Woodridge lost control of her car, drove into the backyard of a house where she plowed directly through the children's swing set, which then became lodged in her car. As she drove away, the swing set stayed attached to her car. The woman kept driving. Residents stopped her and waited for police to arrive. The driver's alcohol content was 4 times above the legal limit. Yeah, so you might want to ditch the swing set when you keep driving. It's usually a dead giveaway.
At least pull over and take the swing set off, kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just...
And hope no children are attached.
Yeah, it's just a good idea. Well, here we go. This is in Colorado. According to cops, Carlos Quijada illegally entered the Colorado Springs residence of Logan Pierce and Michaela DiGiulio in late November. While the married couple was not home, their 4-camera Nest security system was guarding the condominium. After Quijada entered the residence, Pierce received a notification on his phone that the Nest system had detected noise in the apartment. When Pierce subsequently checked the camera feeds, he saw Quijada and another man inside his bedroom. The video shows the men each removing their pants immediately upon entering the room and then climbing atop the bed. This is not their apartment, mind you. This is when they're renting. Following a 6-minute round of oral and anal sex, Quijada's partner used one of DiGiulio's dresses plucked from a laundry pile to wipe his genitals. At one point, Quijada uses another garment to attack a lubricant stain left on the green bed sheet. Pierce, who provided the X-rated security video, said the blue dress used as a post-sex cleanup rag was worn by his wife at the couple's March wedding ceremony. Pierce and DiGiulio have moved to another home. They're actually staying in a Super 8 motel right now. The Colorado Springs Police Department issued an arrest warrant charging Quijada with criminal trespassing and misdemeanor obscenity. Check those garments when you get home if you're renting, kids. Even better, put in a Nest. You never know when you're going to catch your landlord banging somebody in your bed and using your wedding dress to clean up afterward.
He needed a rag.
That is a bad, bad look for Mr. Quijada. Yeah. So a programming note. We do those from time to time. 2 weeks from tonight, December 21st, will be the annual Christmas music battle between Chris Earle and myself. We're going to have a bunch of people in the studio to judge this. It's another one of our goofy, fun, favorite shows of the year. And then December 28th, which will be immediately. Do we usually do it before New Year's or after?
What?
The wrap-up. Is it before or after?
That's after.
After.
It is after.
Are you coming in on the 28th? Are you even going to be here?
The 28th? Yes. Yeah. Of course I am.
So we're going to...
Normal show as always.
Okay, so we'll do the normal show on the 28th. It's going to be really loose. I'll tell you that right now. Because I should be on vacation that week. I ain't reading any news. I got news for you. So we'll be doing a regular show on the 28th. We'll do a regular show next week, regular show on the 28th. On the 21st, it'll be the Christmas battle. And then the first Wednesday in January, we will be doing the best of 2016. Not the worst this year.
What?
We'll be doing the best because this has been such a mind-bogglingly awful year. We're going to switch it up.
There's so many worse. Because if anybody has been longtime listeners of the show, we always do the worst of. So,
yes.
You know, that's everything from the worst politician and so on and so on. We're doing the best.
We're going to switch it up and see if we can salvage something good out of the year that was. So stay tuned.
The summer of blood and the election.
So stay tuned for that. And until next week, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.